Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Happy New Year, everybody. Glory to God. It's good to be here once again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the grace to appear in your presence. We thank you for the grace to gather under you. We thank you for the grace to be called your children. We thank you for the grace to be one of those who are seeking after you. Thank you for the grace you've given us to be one of those who whose hearts are like a deer panting for you. Thank you, Father. This is a product of your work in our lives. This is a product of your grace upon our lives. We do not take this for granted. Be thou glorified, Father, in the name of Jesus. We want to look into your word again. We ask that you speak to us in the name of Jesus as we be going through starting this year. We ask and we pray that your glory be seen in our lives in the name of Jesus. Make us into all that you want for us. Lead us, guide us, teach us. Reveal your will, your power, your glory unto us. Show us the exceeding greatness of your power that is at work in us when you raised up your Son from the dead. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Praise the Lord. God bless you all in Jesus' name. It's been a while. We had to go on break for about 2 weeks or 3 weeks or thereabout. And I thank God that we are back again sharing God's word. Hallelujah. Praise God. You are welcome. I want to officially, on behalf of my family and SGS, welcome every one of you once again to SGS teaching platform. This is where we share God's word based on the command that Jesus gave us, that if we want people to grow, we should teach them everything that he has taught us. And this is the fourth series we are taking in SGS. And the title of the series is Knowing the True God. And we read from 1 John chapter 5 verse 20, where the Bible says, and we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son. This is the true God and the eternal life. We also read John 17 verse 3, where the Bible says, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And we discuss that there is emphasis on the word the true God, and that Jesus came to give us an understanding that we may know the true God. So it means that prior to the time that Jesus was revealed, there was an incomplete understanding or revelation. There is an inability to comprehend the true God. Hallelujah. And that's what we discussed in the introduction we took in the first teaching. Praise the Lord. Let's just quickly read Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. It's a wonderful scripture. Powerful, that we should be able to recite offhand. Let's read Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 to 3. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, as in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah. Emphasis on verse 3. Speaking of Jesus, the Bible says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. He being the brightness of his glory. Speaking of Jesus, that is, Jesus is the brightness of the glory of God, and he is the express image of his person. Speaking of God. Hallelujah. That word translated express image is from the word character. That's the exact word in the Greek. Character. And the character here, it's spelled C-H-A-R-A-C-K-T-E-R. Not our own English character. I'm sure that's where they got character from. So Jesus is the brightness of God's glory and the character of his person. That's what they are saying. And that word translated, that word character actually means stamp. You know what a stamp looks like? You know, when this stamp you put on documents, when you pick up a stamp and you place it on an ink, you impress it upon an ink, then you carry that same stamp and put it on the document. What happens? The exact copy, the exact representation of what you have on that stamp shows on the paper. Isn't it? That is what the word character means. It is a stamp, an exact copy, an exact representation, an exact image of his person. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So you see, Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. If you want to understand what glory of God looks like, what the glory of God looks like, you look at Jesus. But in him, not only will you find God's glory, you also find the exact replica of his person. That's what the Bible says. The express image of his person. And when the Bible talks about the express image of his person, it's not talking about his physical look. It's not about talking about his physical appearance. Because to look at God and think of him in terms of physical appearance would be completely unwise. God is spirit. It's not physical. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. When Moses said he wanted to see God and God said, I will show you my back. When God passed, what happened? The Bible says, and God began to declare his name. The Lord God, wonderful. The Lord God, gracious. The Lord God, merciful. He was proclaiming his attributes. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So let us put that at the back of our mind, that Jesus is the express image, is the exact copy, is the exact replica of the person and nature of God. Hallelujah. So when you look at, when you want to know who God is, the best place, in fact, as a matter of fact, the only place to look is in Jesus. If you look elsewhere, you may end up with a wrong copy of his person. You get that? If Jesus is the exact copy, if you look elsewhere, you are likely going to find a wrong copy. There was a copy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There was a copy. Not like there are no copy. Not like there are no image of him. But you may end up with a faulted copy. You may end up with a dysfunctional copy. If you really want to know the exact copy, the exact nature of God, where do you look? You look at Jesus. Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 that Jesus is the express image of his person. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is why you see the Bible making emphasis on the true God. It says, the Son of God has come and he has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. You see that? Say, this is life eternal, that they may know the true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Can you see that? So the Bible keeps pointing us to the fact that if you truly want to know God, look at Jesus. Jesus told the disciples. Philip said, show us the Father and we'll be okay. Jesus said, how have I been so long with you and you still don't get it? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So Jesus is saying, look no further. Look no further. If you want to know who God is, just look at me. He's right here. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So you must keep that at the back of your mind as we study. Because by the time we begin to show you some differences between what we have under other covenants and what we have through Jesus, you will understand that it's not like God is different. It's not like God changed. God has never changed. He is the same from generational past to generational future. But one thing that has changed is people's understanding, people's perception, people's revelation of him. It has been different. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So today we'll be taking one of the attributes of God. And I have titled it, God is Almighty. God is Almighty. We'll be talking about the almightiness of God. Hallelujah. John chapter 17 verse 1. That was the first time the word the Almighty God was used. We're going to be reading a lot of scriptures. Please follow, because it's really going to bless you. God's almightiness is one of the most misunderstood attributes of God. And as believers, God has given us Jesus to show us who the true nature of God. And as believers, we are expected to know better. Genesis 17 verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, he was 99. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. That word translated Almighty God is from the word Shaddai. Shaddai El. That is where we get the word El Shaddai from. It's God introduced himself as I am Shaddai. El. I am the El Shaddai. And it was translated as, I am the God Almighty. And that was a time in the life of Abraham when God was ready to show him, Mr. Man, I am powerful. Mr. Man, I have power. I can do and undo. I am mighty. I am not only mighty, I am the Almighty. He was 99, so he was going to give birth in the next 1 year. So God was introducing himself as the all-powerful God. And by Genesis 18 verse 14, God told him the wonderful word. He says, and the Lord said unto Abraham, okay, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I am old? Verse 14, he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? at the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. That is the Almighty God in manifestation. The God that can do all things. The unstoppable God. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, you see the same thing from the mouth of Jesus, speaking about God as the Almighty. Matthew 19, verse 26. But Jesus looked at them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are what? Are possible. That's the Almighty God. Everything man calls impossible, that's nothing like impossible with him, is the Almighty. He made the whole earth by the word of his power. He made everything that we are seeing by the word of his power. So what is it? Is it possible that there is something he cannot do in the world that he created? No. He's the Almighty. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Another thing we need to know about God's almightiness is that God is supreme. God is supreme. What does supreme mean? Supreme means he is above all. He is above all. No one is on top of him. He is unquestionable. Let's read Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Psalms 103, verse 19. Say, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. His kingdom ruleth over all. The supreme God, the Almighty God, rules over all. Hallelujah. These are things that we are seeing in Scripture. Psalm 135, verse 6. Psalm 135, verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord please, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in deep places. Can you see that? He does whatever he pleases. He does whatever he wants. No one can question him. Proverbs 21 verse 1, the Bible says, even the hearts of the kings are in his hands. He can turn it wherever he pleases. John 19 verse 11, Jesus was speaking to Pilate. He said, you can have no power over me except it is given to you from above. Letting him know that you think you are the one in charge. No, you're not. It is my Father who is in charge. Hallelujah. So that is the supreme God, the Almighty God. When we say God is Almighty, we also mean that God is sovereign. Colossians 1 verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, he created all things. Let's read it. Colossians chapter 1. We are going somewhere. I just want to create this background before we go into the teaching properly. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 and 17. Say, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominion or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. That is sovereign God. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So you see, God is sovereign. He takes instruction from nobody. He is the creator. He is the Almighty. He created all things for himself. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Ephesians 1 verse 4, the Bible says, there are some things that have been established before the foundation of the earth. His counsel, his purpose, all set in place. Why? Because he is the Almighty God. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 40 verse 13. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 13. It says, who have directed the spirit of the Lord and or being his counselor have taught him. Hallelujah. Is there anybody who gives him advice? Or is there anybody he seeks counsel from? He is a sovereign God, the sovereign ruler. Praise the Lord. That is the Almighty God. Praise God. Now, there are some questions we need to ask. We have read some scriptures now. You have seen it in the Bible from several scriptures. How mighty God is. He is powerful. He does what he pleases. No one can question him. He is the ruler of all. He is almighty. He is this. He is that. He is this. He is that. But we need to ask ourselves some questions. I always tell believers, always ask questions. The last thing you will hear when you ask your question is, okay, this is not, the answer is not revealed. That's the worst answer you can get. The disciples asked Jesus in Acts chapter 1, they said, when will you restore again, when will you restore Israel back, the kingdom of Israel back? Jesus did not say, shut up. You are too inquisitive. No. He said, it is not given to you to know the timing God has placed in his power. So he told them, the question you are asking, there is an answer. But that answer is in the bosom of God and it is not given for you to know. Say, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you'll be my witness. So that is what you should focus on. Becoming a witness. Hallelujah. But if it comes to the question you are asking, sorry, no answer. It's not for you to know. Hallelujah. So don't never you feel timid about asking questions. Sometimes we refuse to ask questions. And because we refuse to ask questions, we never know. We just accept things sheepishly. And that is not the kind of generation God is raising. God is not interested in raising people who follow him foolishly. Otherwise, the sun and the moon would have been perfect for God. He wouldn't need to create man. If God wanted a mindless followership, because that is what some people teach, just follow God mindlessly. Just do as you are told. Just don't question your pastor. Just do whatever they tell you to do. Whether it is reasonable or not. Do what the prophet says. Don't question anything. If they ask you to lie down and roll on the ground, just do it. If they ask you to put sand on your head and call the name of Jesus 100 times, just do it. No questioning. That's the generation God is raising. If God wanted people to follow him mindlessly, he would not give us a will. He gave us a will because he wants us to follow him based on understanding. And that is what a lot of churches are depriving their members. They just want them to follow them without questions. And you call that mentoring, you call that all kinds of things. Yeah, there is a place for that. But notwithstanding, everybody must be entitled to seeking the face of God, understanding whatever it is that they are doing. You must be Berean Christians. No matter what it is I'm teaching you today, if you take it because I'm saying it, it will be correct. I've been saying this since for years. Never you take what I say for it. Go to your Bible and check it. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So it's important we ask ourselves questions. At worst, God will tell you, my son, I'm not going to give you an answer to that. Because it is not given for you to know. Then you can leave the question. If not because believers ask questions, there are a lot of things we would not know in the Bible today. But because disciples learned to ask questions, to the glory of God, we have answers to many things in the Bible today. Hallelujah. Many of the things that Paul was able to explain in the epistles, they were questions that he was asked. They asked him about this, asked him about that. So you tell him, as touching this matter you have raised, this is how to do it, this is how to go about it. Why? They ask questions. So as touching God's almightiness, there are some questions we need to ask. There are some questions we need to face. Number one question. If God is truly almighty, he can do all things, he can do and undo, why did he not stop all evil? You ask yourself. He is powerful. He is great. And you know he's merciful too. Why did he not just put an end to evil? Every year, over 600,000 people die of malaria. Every single year. Hallelujah. COVID-19 has only been able to kill about 5.5 million people. But malaria has been killing people over 600,000 every single year. Nobody screams about that. Hallelujah. I made some research and I found that in 2019, about 9 million people died of heart conditions. And these are the ones that I recorded. These are the recorded deaths. Heart disease happens to be the highest mortality factor in the world. It means more people die of heart disease than any other sickness in the world. On yearly basis, just in one single year, 9 million died because of heart disease. Later I saw a list of 10 diseases that kills people. Highest rating diseases that kill people all over the world. One of it is kidney disease. About 2 million or thereabout dies every year due to kidney disease. Diabetes, probably around 3 or 4 million or thereabout also. You know, and several other sicknesses like that, killing people year in, year out. I was just with a family, I think on Sunday. The man came back from work, complained of headache, and that was all. This is something that happened late last year. He came back from work, complained of headache. They gave him some pain reliever. They checked his BP. They saw his BP was high. They gave him some drugs to bring that down. By 2 a.m., his brain shut down. Immediately, he had stroke. Taken to the hospital. Within 6 days or thereabouts, he passed on, just like that. So you see evil happening everywhere. People dying. If you by mistake turn on your TV to listen to the news, I think that 1st of January, there was a fatal accident around 2 or 3 a.m. That 1st of January. Plane crash here, earthquake here. A friend of mine in US was sharing a video with me, a picture with me, how an entire city was leveled by a tornado. An entire city. leveled by tornado, entire city. Hallelujah. So God is seeing all these things. These are people that are meant to be saved. If he is so powerful, why did he not put an end to it? Over 6 million die of stroke nearly every year. Why has God not put an end to it? If God is the ruler, as we have read in some scriptures here, why is the world so messed up? Why is evil on the increase? He could stop it. Why doesn't he? He can do all things. Why does he not snap his finger and put an end to it? If I claim I have a father who is a good father, and things are going wrong with me, and I know he can stop it, but he keeps watching and looking and allowing things to go from bad to worse for me, how can I love a father like that? I don't know what you want to preach to me. He has the resources to help me. He has the capability to help me, but he opened his eyes wide open and he sees me suffering. Things going bad for me. Probably I'm losing a loved ones. I'm losing loved ones. Burying loved ones. And my father can stop it and he does not stop it. Why? How can I love a father like that? You know, people are falling into mere religion, so they don't ask questions. And that is what religion does to people. And that's the terrible thing about Islam. They will not allow their members to ask questions. Anytime they raise questions about origin, about this and that, they shut them up. Because religion wants to keep you in ignorance. It wants to keep you in a mindless game. But that is not what God has come to do for us. He has come to set us free. He said, we shall know the truth. And that truth will set us free. There are people who have turned their back on God and become atheists just because somebody told them their parent died, their father died, and somebody told them it was God that took him. And they're like, if God took my father, I don't want anything to do with that God. And they hardened their hearts, became atheists. Because somebody told them it was God that wanted them more than you do. So God wanted my father more than I do. So he now took him, right? They become atheists. People have become atheists because they prayed over a loved one and they expected that loved one to live, and the loved one died, and they become atheists. And they are like, God, you can stop this thing. Why didn't you? And if you know that person, then they are like, I'm sorry. If this is what it means to serve a God, then I don't want to part with him. Many of the greatest atheists today became so because they believed they had an encounter with God. God failed them and they become atheists. So to ask questions. If God is so powerful, if God is so great, if he is so almighty, as we have said, supreme controller, why is our world so messed up? Why are the righteous suffering? And it seems like it is the bad people that are excelling. Why is evil on the increase? Romans 9 verse 19. Paul raised a question like that. He said, if all the big decisions are already made, then why is God judging people? He said he's the supreme controller. He controls all things. He controls who dies. He controls who lives. He controls who sins. He controls who is righteous. He controls who is born again. He controls who is not born again. He is the chief controller of everything. Paul raised that question. He said, why then does he judge people? If I'm the one that made you sin, then why should I judge you? If I'm the one that made you righteous, then why should I reward you? These are questions that we should raise and face. Because if we do not know God enough to know what He does and why He does them, we may be unable to fellowship with a God we don't know. And remember, I taught you in the first teaching that God wants to be known. God wants to be known. God does not want to be mysterious. He wants to be known. Praise the Lord. I said in the last teaching that when it comes to the ways of God, they are mysterious. You can never understand how God will do what He does. You will not be able to fathom how He will respond. You will not be able to fathom how He will do what He will do. But you know what? God wants you to know that I will do it. That's my nature. It will not be given to you to know how I will do it. In fact, sometimes it will not be given to you to know when I will do it. But you know what? You must understand that I will do it. God wants to be known. Jeremiah 32 verse 34 in the Bible says, "They shall all know me." That's what it says. It says, "As long as I live, saith the Lord, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God as the weather covers the sea." God wants to be known. He is consistent in His nature. He said, "I am God, I change not." He wants you to know Him. Because some of us think our God is mysterious. He is awamaridi. Yes, He is awamaridi. But His nature is not awamaridi. His nature is not mysterious. He sent Jesus so that we can know Him, know His nature. The old Bible is written to us so we can understand the trend, the character, the nature, the tendencies of God. God is consistent. He's not schizophrenic. We don't know what God will do. Oh, what do you mean by don't know what God will do? The Bible says, "Be not unwise, but understand what the will of God is." As a child of God, you should know what God will do. You should know Him. He wants to be known. He does not want to be mysterious. As time goes on, we talk more about this. At the time, God had to conceal His nature because people could not understand Him. But the time has come. Liberty has come. The veil has been removed. The Bible says, "We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered into the mind of man what God has for them that love Him. But they have been revealed to us by His Spirit." So when Jesus came, He gave us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. Hallelujah. So God wants to be known. He desires that people know Him. He desires that His children know Him. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So quickly, let's ask a question. I've given us some questions that should open up our minds. Because I've seen people who say things like, "If I will go to hell, I'll go to hell. If I'll go to heaven, I'll go to heaven." So when God is trying to save me, He will save me. You know, people have made statements like that. And what they are trying to say is that God is controlling everything. And you will not. And if you are religious a bit, you may have a problem with somebody who thinks like that. But you're also thinking the same. You see, there can never be coronavirus if God does not sanction it. There can never be this and that if God does not permit it. If the soldier cannot die if God does not permit it. A soldier cannot happen if God does not permit it. And every time, whether good or bad, we place that responsibility on God. So if he's the one approving and disapproving a thing, if every decision goes through his table, goes through his approver, then what right does he have to judge people? If I can stop you from stealing, but I did not, I allowed you to steal. I have the power to stop you from killing, but I did not, I allowed you to kill. Why should I still come and judge you, since I'm the one that gave you the permission to do it? I'm the one that gave you the strength to do it. Why then should I judge you? If I'm the one that made you do it, why should I judge you? Hallelujah. So these are questions that should come up in our minds. Because we have read now that he is the Almighty God. He does what he pleases. So one of the questions we quickly face in today's teaching, we can't finish this teaching today, definitely. We'll continue next week. But let's ask ourselves a question. A question that will help us, that will begin to, you will answer this one, and it will help us to answer many other questions subsequently. Who is the ruler of the earth? It's an important question. Who is the ruler of the earth? Praise the Lord. You know, an average person will say God is the ruler of heaven and earth, and that seems like the sweetest thing you can say to God. Hallelujah. In fact, there are some scriptures that support that claim. That is the ruler of heaven and earth. But like I said, there is a distorted image of God that's also available in scriptures. Hallelujah. When Jesus came, he began to straighten out those distorted image. He came to tell us that God is your father. He loves you. He cares about you. He's not going to destroy you. He's not going to do this. He loves you. You know, he says, okay. Moses told you this and that. He told you this and that. But no. That is not God's image. This is what God is saying. You know, Jesus began to straighten out some things. Some of those wrong image. Then he says, hey, you want to know God? Don't look too far. Look at me. I am the express image of his person. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So who is the ruler of the earth? Now let's think together for a moment. Majority of those who are listening to me, I'm sure you are from Nigeria. And when we ask, what is the problem of Nigeria? What do we say? Majority of us will have a similar answer. And that answer would be leadership. Leadership. Nigeria has resources. We have human power. We have natural resources. We have everything a great nation needs and more. But there is something we lack. We lack leadership. And because we lack leadership, things are going from bad to worse. Hallelujah. So you see, it is easy for us to look at Nigeria and blame our leaders, because we understand that the state of a nation is dependent on its rulers. The Bible even says somewhere, it says, woe unto the land, I think it's in the book of Psalms, or Proverbs, or thereabouts. The Bible says, woe unto the land when your king is a child and your princes eat in the morning. But blessed art thou, O land, when your king is the son of nobles and your princes, they eat for strength and not for drunkenness. So the Bible is showing us that when you see a land going from bad to worse, who is at fault? The leaders. Who is at fault? The rulers. So I'm going to ask the question again. Who is ruling the earth? Can you see? Are you starting to think now? Because if God were to be the one ruling the earth, then who should we blame for the havocs, for the problems, for the sorrows, from the suffering of mankind? To be God. You shouldn't blame Satan. Blame God. Except he is not the ruler. Okay, that's a possibility. Praise the Lord. Except he is not the ruler. Psalm 115 verse 16. Wonderful scripture. Wonderful scripture. Wonderful scripture. Psalm 115 verse 16, the Bible says, the heaven, even the heavens, other version says, the heavens of the heavens. Please, it's important if you are listening, pick your Bible up and read. If you have your phone, just turn it to that place. Psalm 115 verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. Can you see that? But the earth hath he given to the children of men. Can you see that? I'm going to read again because some of us may miss it. It says, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth has he given to the children of men. Is that simple enough? Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Can you see that? Yes, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. No doubt. Psalm 24 verse 1. It belongs to God. But God gave it over. The earth has he given to the children of men. When did he give it to the children of men? Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to the very beginning. Genesis 1 verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. That's a very strong word. Let them have rulership. Let them have authority. Let them have control. Let them have kingship. You know, the word dominion is where we get the word kingdom from. Let them be kings. Let them be rulers. Let them be controller over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and what? Over all the earth. Can you see that? After God made the earth and he saw that it was good, he gave it over to man to rule over it. God did not create the physical world for him to rule over it. No, God is spirit. He is the ruler of heaven, and we can see what is happening in heaven, right? Hallelujah. If you have not seen that, you've heard that heaven is a peaceful place. That is a world that is ruled by God. That is a kingdom that is ruled by God. You see serenity. You see peace. You see tranquility. You see joy. You see everything in order, everything in place, no tears, no darkness, no night, everything you can ever imagine, because God is the ruler. But he made the earth. He owns the earth. But he gave it to man as a manager, as a ruler. And he told man, as long as you are alive, the earth is yours to rule. The earth is yours to have dominion over. I'm sure you know that none of us came to the world with anything. Is there anybody that came to the world with a tuxedo? Like when you are going to give back to you, you came in with in a tuxedo. Or you came in with a car key. No. We all came empty. God says, I'm giving you the whole world. That is it. But I am giving you it to you as long as you are alive. So it is a stewardship, not an ownership. The earth still belongs to God. But he gave the rulership over to man. As long as the man is alive, the earth belongs to him to rule over. Then one day, after ruling over the whole world, and he become the most richest man on the earth with billions and trillions and businesses everywhere, and your name is said everywhere. One day, what happens to you? You take everything you have gained, you pass it over to someone else, and you leave. Because you never owned a thing. You did not come with anything. You are living with nothing. But while you are here on earth, you are in control. You are in charge. Hallelujah. Let this mind be in you. You own nothing. You have nothing. Everything God has given you is only for you to use well and give account. When you are going back to God when you die, you are going only with an account of how you spend the things he gave you while you are here. You came with nothing, you are living with nothing. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. Glory to Jesus. But while man is alive, man has dominion. Man has rulership. Man has control. Somebody can just sit down somewhere now and just say, as from tomorrow, let's fuel price be sold at 500 naira. And all the filling stations across Nigeria will obey. They will obey. If you don't buy in time, you'll be surprised. It will be scarce. You won't be able to drive your car anymore. Because they are in charge of that aspect. You can decide to take your life. Abi? It is yours as long as you are alive. But immediately you die, you understand that your life was never yours. You could not take it. But while you are here on earth, you have the right to take your life if you like. It's your choice. As long as man is alive, man has dominion over the earth. He has the ability to subdue. He has the ability to be fruitful. He has the ability to multiply. The earth belongs to God, but he has given it over. He has given the dominion over to the children of men. Hallelujah. You see, because many of us did not know God, we could not love him properly. Because things will happen in the earth and majority, in fact, both Christians and Muslims and alike, we blame God for it. Just because you prayed, and what you prayed for, you believe you prayed all your heart out. Just because you did your best and things did not turn out well does not mean that is how God wanted it. And just because you did something and it was successful does not mean God has a hand in it. You say, if God does not permit it, it will not have happened. Who told you that? If God did not want it to happen, he would have destroyed it. Who told you that? That is not a power in the hands of God. Hallelujah. Am I shocking you a little bit? It's not his to decide. It's not his to decide. Praise the Lord. So, the earth is not given to man to rule. It is given, it's not given to God to rule. God gave the earth to man to rule over it. But you see, something happened that passed the rulership of the earth over to the devil. 1 John 5 verse 19. If you read New Living Translation, the Bible says, but we know that we have God. But the earth is under the control of the evil one. Read the NLT, that's how it puts it. KJV said, but the whole earth lieth in wickedness. That's KJV. NLT says, the earth is under the control of the evil one. Can you see that? 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, the Bible says, he called the devil the god of this world. John 12, 31. Jesus was speaking there. He said, Satan, he called Satan the ruler of this world. Can't even call it the prince of this world. But the word prince in the Bible means rulers. The ruler of this world, that's Satan. Jesus called him the ruler of this world. He would have called his father the ruler. No. He said, Satan is the ruler of this world. Job 9:24. Job said, the whole earth is in the hands of the wicked. Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. Let's read that one. I want us to read that ourselves. We are going somewhere. Before you go about blaming God for things he's not responsible for, you need to read this. Luke 4, 5 to 7. And the devil taking him up into an high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, as whomsoever I will, I give. Can you see that? I'm sure you know that this will not be a temptation for Jesus if Satan was lying. So it was a temptation because he wasn't lying. Hallelujah. When he said, turn stones to bread, he knew Jesus could turn stones to bread. When he says, jump down, angels will carry you, he wasn't lying. He was saying the truth. It's in the scripture, Psalm 91, verse 11. So when he says, all these things have been delivered unto me, he wasn't joking. If he was lying, then it wouldn't be a temptation. Hallelujah. So he said, for that is delivered unto me. So the Bible shows us that God gave the earth over to man to rule. So how did Satan now become the ruler of this world? Romans 6 verse 16, the Bible says, to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, is servants you are. So immediately man chose to obey Satan in the garden. What happens? Man became a slave of sin. Man became a slave of Satan because he chose to obey him. And Yoruba says, he who owns the slave also owns everything the slave has. So by disobedience, man became a slave to the devil. And by reason of slavery, Satan inherited everything that belongs to man. So the control of the earth passed on to Satan because man chose to obey Satan. Hallelujah. So that's why today Satan is called the ruler of this world, and you don't need to be told that Satan is ruling this world. You don't need to be told. In less than 2,000 years of an unchallenged rulership of the devil, the world was already on the verge of self-destruction. How do you know that? Barely 2,000 years after Satan had full rulership. 2,000 years. The Bible says God came down and he said, and he regretted he ever made man. He said, what? What happened here? And he said, enough is enough. I am wiping them all out. Because Satan did a fantastic job in ensuring they become extremely evil. And he wiped them all out except for Noah and his family, who found grace in the sight of God. Even though Noah was a drunkard, but at least he found grace. And immediately from then, God began the plan. Before another 2,000 years would come and the world would go back to as evil as it was, God said, I need to act fast. And before you know it, Abraham came to the scene, and Isaac came, and Jacob came, and God chose a people, and he began to plan for redemption of the human race. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you see, Satan became the ruler of this world. And God could only begin to exert his influence on the earth through vessels who yield themselves to him. To whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are. So the reason why Israel became a people of God is not because they have a beautiful face, but because that's the generation to whom their fathers yielded to God. And because their fathers yielded to God, God, in the midst of a world ruled by the devil, God was able to establish his own rulership, what we call kingdom, his own domain in a people. And through that domain, through that kingdom, he is able to spread his tentacle across the whole earth. When God told Abraham, through you, all the kingdom of the world will be blessed. God knew what he was saying. Satan was ruling everything. But then God chose a people. And through that people, today, God's rulership is on the increase upon the earth. So when Jesus died, he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. I have more rights to the earth than Satan. But the problem is, Satan has more people. So his majority carry the vote. Satan is still ruling much more today because he has more people. He has more people. So 10% say they don't want BB Niger. 90% say they want BB Niger. What is going to be reigning? BB Niger now. 95% says they want nudity. 5% says we don't want nudity. What happens? Nudity reigns. That's how Satan has been ruling more. That is why the kingdom of darkness has been ruling more than the kingdom of light. Because the kingdom of darkness has more people. The kingdom of darkness has more vocal people. The kingdom of darkness has more violent people than the kingdom of light. But we have a promise. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Bible talked about the seventh trumpet. One day the seventh trumpet will go out, and the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of Christ. Let's read it. Revelation 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, the one we call the last trump. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world, they might have belonged to the devil, they might have belonged to Satan, they might have been ruled by Satan, but the Bible says a time will come when the seventh trumpet will go forth, and the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. I pray on that day when Christ will reign upon this earth as the supreme ruler once again, you and I will be there in the name of Jesus. So God is not ruling the earth today. Satan is ruling. That's why Jesus told us to pray. Pray that let his kingdom come. Let his will be done. Because if you don't pray, God's will not be established. If you don't act, God's will not be established. If you don't fight, God's will not be established. Satan will keep on winning. But through you and I, who are ambassadors of a kingdom that is yet to come, we must establish and replicate the mandate of that kingdom upon our family, upon our homes, upon our churches, upon our lands, as much as God gives us grace. Otherwise, the world will go from mayhem to mayhem, from troubles to troubles, from wars to wars. Why? Because they have chosen to be ruled by the devil. But one day will come when the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. You and I will be a part of that kingdom in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for beginning to open our hearts and our minds to your word and to your will. Thank you for opening our hearts to the knowledge of you. Today you have showed us that you are not to blame. Many believers have blamed you for the coronavirus of this world. They say it's God that is doing it. It's God that is doing that. It's God that is doing this. And God says, no, how am I to blame? How am I to blame? Why should you blame me for it? It was me who punished my son so that such things will not happen. Why again will I inflict mayhem upon the world when my son is still at work? One day my son will stop his work and then I can unleash my anger upon the world, but not yet. Not yet. That thing you are seeing upon your world is the work of the devil. For this sake was the Son of Man manifested, to destroy all the works of the devil. Lord, today you have shown us that you are not the ruler. You are not the commander of this earth. You are the commander of heaven. You are the ruler of heaven. But you gave in your love. You made the world as beautiful as our own. And in your love and the trust you have for the human race, you handed over something this wonderful to us. Only a God of love could do this. Create a world so beautiful, and you handed it over to men that you have not even tried and you have not even tried. But because of your love for us, because love believes all things, you believe that through us, this same world will come to the knowledge of Christ. Lord, we exalt you. There is no one in heaven and in earth that can do what you have done. Create a beautiful word, hand it over to people you don't even know how they will do it. And today we see what they have made of it. They have made trouble out of the earth you created. That even at the time you regretted for making them and making them putting them in charge. Father, we thank you. We worship you. Help us to know you more. As we go on talking about your mightiness and your almightiness, speak to our hearts. Show us your will. Show us your way. We want to know you. We know you want us to know you. Thank you, Father. Receive our glory. Receive all the glory. Receive our praises. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. See you again, God's grace, same time next week. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are still on course. We continue this teaching. If you have questions, please do well to ask on our Telegram group. We will answer it by God's grace. But next week, we still talk more and explain further. We are not done explaining. I'm sure some of us have questions. We will explain more next week as God gives us grace. And if you have questions from today's teaching, feel free to ask. And by God's grace, we will supply answers to it. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend ahead.
The Savior alone carried the cross for all of my sin. He paid the cost. Salvation complete, now forever.